May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Are you wise? From 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As a young pastor, I kind of made a big mistake in my preaching. And the mistake was that I tried to make Christianity always logical, always understandable. I wanted to show that everything about God and Jesus and the Bible made sense. I wanted to convince people that they could think their way to God. Think their way to God. Persuasion was taking a priority over just preaching the simple truth, declaring the simple truth of the gospel. And even more problematic, and maybe a summation of it, I was always speaking to the mind, never to the heart. For the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We believe that Jesus was God who became a man by dying on the cross, and he saved us for eternal life. I hope, have a living relationship with Jesus. He's very much alive. He loves us. He's in this world. And by the Holy Spirit, we know things that can't be known by our thinking. We just can't. So we have a passion for him. I love Jesus. I would die for him. I would die for him. That saying, God became a man, well, we've just lost billions of people throughout the world. This is folly to them. And that word folly means madness. It means absurdity, right? That some man walking this earth was really God and man. They don't have the Spirit, and the things of God are only discerned by having the Spirit. Then somehow dying on the cross does a great thing for me, right, and for you. Forgiveness of sins. And his love is poured into us. So we become people of love. And we're out in the world loving people, showing that love to Christ. This is, for the non-believer, utter nonsense. Doesn't make any sense at all that the cross, a symbol of execution, is really a blessing to us. The cross is the symbol of our salvation. It's a symbol of a loving God. To the non-believer, this is silly, ludicrous, unreasonable, yeah, even insane. The cross makes no sense to a non-believer. No amount of logic, no amount of rationality will turn them to become believers. But we want them to become believers. Yes? I'm not sure about this. We want people to become believers. Yes? Okay, this side was more confident about that. Do you sit on that side because you're not as confident about it? No. Yes, we want them to become believers. Now, it's interesting to me that throughout the Bible, we see that by hearing God's word, the Spirit comes to inflame both mind and heart. And in the Bible, we see that belief in God and his love for people seems silly to people who don't know him. Let me explain. Let's start with Noah. God tells him to build this great big boat. It wasn't even raining. The rain hadn't happened in the world, right? Great big boat in a very arid, dry land. Now, let's imagine what people were saying to him. The ridicule, the laughter. But God knew Noah and loved him And Noah knew God and loved him. And he built the boat, and it started raining. Let's go over to the Passover. There were 10 plagues that God gave Moses, right? And the last one was the angel of death would come upon the Egyptians and kill all the firstborn. That was the last plague. So this would not happen to the Israelites. What were they supposed to do? Sacrifice a lamb and take the blood and put it over the doorposts. So when the angel of death flew over, they would see the blood and pass over the Israelites. Now, can you imagine one of the Israelites saying, this is silly. This isn't going to do any good. At least this time, the Israelites perceived the love of God and did this. And they escaped from Egypt. Then there's Moses in the wilderness. And these wildly rebellious Israelites now. And God sends venomous snakes to bite them because they were speaking against God and Moses. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Help us. We're dying. And God directed Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And he says, anyone who looks at this will not die but heal. Now, we look at that, and it doesn't make any sense. That's silly. What these people need is medical attention, right? They need anti-venom medicine. Okay. Am I making a pattern here? Then there's the Syrian army commander named Naaman who had leprosy. And he heard that in Israel there was this great prophet, and his name was Elisha. Elisha. Right. You got it. And he went to him to be healed. And Elisha told him to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman was angry. First of all, Elisha didn't come to him and do some spectacular call upon God and heal him, right? And he was disrespected. Besides, the River Jordan was a dirty little creek compared to the rivers back home, right? This was so demeaning to him. But when his servants came to him and said to him, this must have taken courage, you know, if he had asked you to do something really hard and difficult, you would have done it. But he asked you just to bathe in that dirty River Jordan, and you wouldn't do it. And Naaman had enough sense to listen to his servants, and he went and bathed in the Jordan River 7 times, right? And he was healed. What are these examples about? The word, the gospel of Jesus, doesn't have to make sense to be true. It doesn't have to make sense to be true. We are forgiven and saved by looking to the cross of Jesus. It is the very power of God to make us new. And yet, to so many, it seems like folly. The Corinthians exhibit a problem that many have today with Jesus and the gospel. They thought themselves sophisticated people. They were influenced by Greek thought and philosophy, which gave them an inflated view of themselves and their worldly wisdom. They thought they could think their way to God. They were proud of their intellectual heritage. And they put Christianity into Greek philosophy, which, by the way, corrupted it. And they viewed Apostle Paul as just another philosopher among all the philosophers. And Christianity was what a lot of people think today, just another kind of religion. We all worship the same God, right? Not exactly. Simply put, the root of their problem was pride. They had no living relationship with Jesus. They needed to be filled with the Spirit. They had to have their minds transformed by the Spirit. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The wisest thing in the world is to believe that in Jesus died on the cross for you and rose for you. To let His love and the Spirit flow through your life. To be desired more than anything. Have you ever stopped to think, why am I a believer? Why? You know plenty of people who aren't. Why are you a believer? Well, as you think about that, are we any different than most people? No. Are we wiser necessarily? The stumbling block for people to believe is human wisdom, human philosophy. The stumbling block is the person of Jesus. Why do you have faith in Jesus? Because He's given you faith in Jesus. It's a gift to you. He trips up the wisest, the intelligent, the great thinkers who don't know God. Their wisdom and knowledge is ultimately foolishness. It is foolish to reject the Savior of the world and your Savior. Why do we look at the cross and see forgiveness and others see folly? Nonsensical words. So I get back to it. Why are you a believer? Are we superior in some way? Did we have some secret knowledge that came to us? No. No. It's because the mercy and grace of our God and in Jesus sending us the Holy Spirit. Paul says to the Corinthians, think of what you were when God's mercy came to you. You were not wise according to human standards, nor powerful, nor noble. And you know, even though we have a lot of smart people in our church, he might as well be talking to us. Why am I a believer? Because faith has been given to me as a gift. Because I've heard the word of God. And I've believed. So I want to address you who are well educated. And by the way, the early service had more scholars. Because scholars always get up early. To you well educated, to you who have PhDs, scientists, professors, doctors, educators, A students, I'm talking to you now. You know who you are because you raised your hand, unless you lied. Or unless you had a small class like I did. You have to know that great human knowledge is a temptation not to believe the gospel. Your great learning is a temptation, a continuing temptation not to believe the gospel. Just as riches and wealth is a temptation not to believe the gospel. Lots of rich people do not believe. Just as power, beauty, popularity is a temptation not to believe the gospel. Let me just hit on that one, beauty. Beauty is a temptation not to believe the gospel. I've always taken a lot of delight in that. I've never had trouble with that. But you know, actors and actresses, not many are Christian. Now, some are. But the beautiful people tend not to be believing the gospel. Isn't that interesting? Right. It's a temptation not to believe the gospel. And here's my question to you, if any one of those apply to you, because we have beautiful people here. We have wealthy people here, and we have educated people here. So if I haven't covered you, Think of something. Let me ask you this. Has it tempered your passion and your love for Jesus? Acknowledge it. Put it beside you. Put it behind you. But the amount of your education and knowledge really is not the issue. The amount of your wealth is not the issue. The amount of how good you look and how powerful you are is not the issue. It is what? Pride. Pride. You have to humble yourself to accept and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be a very smart person, but you humbly receive the gospel. Many of you have, because we have a very intelligent congregation. You have humbled yourself. You have received the gospel. You believe in Jesus. You believe that his death on the cross was for your sins. His resurrection was to put you right with God. You know the greatest knowledge you have on this earth is that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That's your supreme knowledge. So if we're going to boast, let us boast about nothing except that we trust in the Lord. And we have love and faith in him that he has given us. We have to let people know humbly that there is the greatest wisdom in the world is that God loves us and they sent Jesus into this world and that he loves them too. So we ought to be out in this world loving people. How are we going to reach people? We can say a lot of words. That doesn't usually do it, right? We don't need to be judging people, but loving them. Bring them to see what a joyous and, you know, it's ridiculously happy to know the Lord. It is. It's happiness. It's joy. Often you might wonder, what's preaching like? Would you like to give a go at it? You know what? I don't know. I'm sure it's the same with you. This is a sheer joy to be talking about the most important things that we can talk about, God's Word. I love this. That's why I go on so long sometimes. Not today. If we explain Christianity logically, it's okay as far as it goes. Oh, there are facts around the gospel. If you take the New Testament, it's centered in history. All the places mentioned in the New Testament you can find today. The people existed. It's all historical. And those facts around it can help us as we learn things to believe. They help us. They don't close the deal. It's called apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith with facts. And I applaud it. I do. But no amount of facts and information is going to prove to you that Jesus rose from the dead. This is received by faith and faith alone. If people become believers, it will be because the Holy Spirit has led them to believe because they have heard the Word of God, something no worldly thinking or human accomplishment can cause. So let's use the simple words of the gospel. Let's not flower them up. Let's love people and invite them to hear the Word of God and then have the Holy Spirit come into their life and transform them in their thinking and in most of all in their heart. We want to see people become believers in Jesus. Right? You were better this time. Are you wise? If you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you most certainly are. In his name and to his glory, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.